I have a question for you this morning. Do you want to be a real Christian? Do you want to rise above cultural Christianity? Do you want to rise above traditional church religion and truly be a person who lives by the teaching of Jesus Christ? If you do, devote yourselves to reading, studying, and obeying the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' sermon about how to live. It is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it is the pure teaching of Jesus Christ on how to live your life. If you want to be a real Christian, you need to know that passage of Scripture. And more than that, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to live it. We are not going to study the whole thing today. We're just going to look at one small part of the Sermon on the Mount today, and that is Jesus' teaching on the incredibly important subject of prayer. Do you want to know how to pray? Do you want to know how to pray? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shows us how to pray. And he does more than that. He gives us a prayer that is a model and outline for us to follow. What an incredible treasure. Would you please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 and stand with me as we read the Holy Scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and teach you how to pray? Pray that God would teach you how to pray and build you up in your most holy faith this morning. Would you pray for the other people in this room, that God would touch their hearts and teach them how to pray and build them up in their most holy faith this morning? Now would you be so kind to briefly pray for me, that God would enable me to teach this passage accurately and therefore build you up. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's Prayer, and I want to point out right away that this prayer is not to be repeated mindlessly. This prayer is not to be repeated mindlessly. It is a prayer to be a role model. It is a model or an outline for you to pray to God from your heart. Look at verse 9. And we'll take it piece by glorious piece. Verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, the first thing I want to point out about this beautiful prayer is that God teaches us to call Jesus. Teaches us to call God our Father. That is point one in your notes. When we pray, we address God as our Father. When we pray, we address God as our Father. Trinity Baptist Church, this one fact alone has changed my life and absolutely supercharges my prayer life. This one fact alone drives and motivates my prayer life so much. Stay in the Sermon on the Mount with me and turn just one page over to Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7. And we read this. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Isn't that a beautiful passage? How much more, asked Jesus, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will God give to us, our Father? This one fact about God drives my prayer life. He is my Father. I talk to him as my Father. I am his child. This is what Jesus taught us. This is how Jesus commands us to address God. Our Father. Our Father. By the way, the early church. And when I say the early church, I mean the church that was formed after Jesus was ascended into heaven. The first century church would not allow non-Christians to repeat this prayer. The first disciples would not allow non-Christians to repeat this prayer. Why? Because if you don't belong to Jesus, you are not God's child. And it's inappropriate for you to call God Father. You must have Jesus to be God's child. Look at the verse. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. This is the very first prayer request. What does it mean? What does that mean? In your notes, you have today's Greek word. The Greek word is hagiadzo, and it means to make holy or to treat as holy. To make holy or to treat as holy. It is the word hallowed.
It means to set something apart because it is special. To set something apart because it is special. The opposite of holy is common or ordinary. Here's a question for you. Hagiazo means to make holy. Can you make God holy? Can you make God holy? Someone said no, and that's correct. God is holy. That is a fact. God is holy. What does it mean that God is holy? Number two in your notes, God is separate and above all that is unclean, imperfect, and ordinary. He is holy. God is separate and above all that is unclean, imperfect, and ordinary. He is literally in a class by himself. He is holy. God is holy. That is a fact. So what does it mean when we pray, "Hallowed be your name"? If we cannot make God holy, what does that mean? It's not a prayer that God would be holy, because he is. It is a prayer that God would be treated as holy. That is what that means. Our Father who is in heaven, may you be treated as holy. May you be honored as holy. That is the prayer. And that is how we begin our prayer. Let me show you what it means from other scriptures. Acts 20, verse 8, behind me on the screen. Don't have Acts 20, verse 8. Acts 20, verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. God was not commanding the Jewish people to make the Sabbath holy, because it already is. It is a special day, separate from all of the common or ordinary days. Remember, the opposite of holy is ordinary. The fourth commandment is that the Sabbath would be treated as holy, that the Sabbath would be honored as holy, that it would be kept holy. That's the same idea in Matthew 6:9. "Hallowed be your name." May you be honored and treated for who you really are, that is holy. The Greek word hagiazo, hallowed, also occurs in 1 Peter 3:15. Look behind me on the screen at 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify, hagiazo, Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Peter says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Peter is not saying, make Christ holy, because Christ already is holy. He is saying, set Christ up on the throne of your heart as holy. That is what he's saying. And the same idea here is in Matthew 6:9. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are special. You are separate and above all that is common and ordinary and unclean and impure. May you be treated as you really are. That is the prayer request. Number three in your notes. When we pray, we should pray that God would be honored and worshiped as holy. Do you pray that? Is that what your prayer life is all about? Is that your main concern when you pray? It should be. We should be totally dedicated to God's glory. And praying that God would be honored and worshiped in a manner worthy of his holiness should be the focus of our prayers. God's glory is very important to him. Look behind me on the screen at Ezekiel 36, this incredible statement about why God saved Israel. Therefore, says the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. God's name must be honored, and this should be the focus of our prayers. Is this the focus of your prayer life? Is your prayer life God-centered? Or is your prayer life you-centered? We all have needs. Family needs, financial needs, physical needs. We all need wisdom. We all need strength. We all need help to get through this day and every day. And we must and should pray to God about our needs, because we are depending on God to meet them. Where else are you going to turn? You must pray to God about your needs. But Trinity Baptist Church, is God's honor, God's glory, God's name your main concern in your life? Is that your main concern? Is God's glory and God's honor your main concern when you pray? This should be the main thing we pray about, that God be honored. Why? Because that's the most important thing in the world. And in this world, Trinity Baptist Church, in this world, God is dishonored. God is doubted. God is misrepresented. God is ridiculed. God is disobeyed. God is blasphemed. God is hated. God's name is soiled. God's name is slandered. God is dishonored and disobeyed all over the world today. And if you and I only have time to pray one thing, we should pray about that. If you only pray one single request every day, pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This should be your main concern when you focus on your own life as well. Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be honored in my finances. May your name be honored at my work. May your name be honored at my school. May your name be honored in my social life. May your name be honored in my dating life. May your name be honored in my marriage. Your prayer should be, my Father, our Father, may your name be honored. Let's worship the Lord together. Trinity Baptist Church, God is awesome. He is magnificent. He is beautiful. He is majestic. He is literally in a class by himself. Every single person, every single thing in the universe is common and ordinary and corrupt and imperfect. God and God alone is holy. And when we pray, our main concern is that God be glorified and treated as he is worthy of being treated. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. This beautiful prayer continues in verse 10. And it says this, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, Trinity Baptist Church. This is the great hope. This is the great longing of every believer, is that God's kingdom would come. Please keep a bookmark in Matthew and turn with me to a beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 20. A beautiful work of art here from Paul. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death," that is Adam, "by a man, Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he," that is Jesus, "hands over the kingdom to the God and Father. When he," that is Jesus, "has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, he," Jesus, "must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet," that is Jesus. Jesus has put all things in subjection under his feet. "But when he says all things are put in subjection, it's evident that God, the Father, is excepted, who put all things in subjection to Jesus. When all things are subjected to Jesus, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all." That is what we long for. That is what we hope for. Someday, Jesus Christ will return to this earth, and he will set up a kingdom that will never be shaken. Someday, our Father God will be worshipped and adored by all of creation forever and ever and ever. There will be no sin, no evil, no darkness. Trinity Baptist Church, the believer in Jesus Christ longs for that day, hopes for that day, and prays for that day. The believer longs for the day spoken of in Revelation chapter 11 behind me on the screen. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.'" The believer longs for that day, hopes for that day, and prays for that day. This is how we should pray. "Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be honored as holy. And may you come as soon as possible and bring in your glorious kingdom." Number 4 in your notes. When we pray, we should long for, hope for, and pray for God's future, glorious, unshakable kingdom to be established. When we pray, we should long for, hope for, and pray for God's future, glorious kingdom to be established. glorious, unshakable kingdom. But so many people today are not longing for God's kingdom to come. My question is this: are you? Are you longing for God's kingdom to come? Do you hope it is today? Why aren't our prayers focused on God's kingdom? Because our lives are focused on life down here. Because our lives are focused on life down here. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, this is not our home. This is not our home. Look at Philippians 3 behind me on the screen. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, and who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Brothers and sisters, this is not our home. This is not our home. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 says we groan down here. We groan longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This is not our home. This is not our life. We have been placed down here temporarily and very, very briefly for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to serve the Lord. That's the only reason you're here, is to store up treasure in heaven and to long for the appearing of our Savior. That's the only reason we're here. So my question to you, Trinity Baptist Church, is this. What is the focus of your life? What is the focus of your life? Are you living for eternity? Or have you lost perspective and are now living for down here? Have you made yourself at home down here? Or are you living for eternity? Look behind me on the screen at Colossians 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. God's kingdom should be the focus of our life. God's kingdom should be our primary longing, and God's kingdom should be what we pray about. You pray, your kingdom come, by looking for, waiting for, and praying for our Lord Jesus to return and take us home. You pray, your kingdom come, by praying that more and more people would bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ right here and now. When we pray, our Father who is in heaven, may your name be honored and glorified, and may your eternal, future, glorious kingdom finally and gloriously come. Your kingdom come. Let's worship the King of Kings. We long for, hope for, and pray for that glorious glorious day. Amen? Amen. That's what we pray for. And when we pray our Father who is in heaven. May your name be honored and glorified, and O God, may it be today. May your glorious kingdom come. By the way, when Jesus does return and set up his glorious kingdom, only those who are born again will be able to enjoy that day. Only those who are born again will be able to enjoy that day. Look at John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Has Jesus Christ come into your heart and radically changed your life? If not, when Jesus comes back, instead of being ushered into his glorious kingdom, you will be condemned and judged for your sinfulness. If you are not born again when Jesus returns, it will not be a day of joy for you. It'll be a day of terror. If you are not saved, or you think you're not ready for that day, the elders and I will be right over here. Please come and talk to us. Brothers and sisters, notice this whole prayer so far is about God. The entire Lord's Prayer so far is about God, God's kingdom, God's glory, God's will. This is what our prayer should be focused on. Our Father, may your name be honored, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done. Number 5 in your notes. Our main concern in prayer should be that God be glorified, that God be worshipped, and that God be obeyed. It's all about God. Jesus modeled this in his life. Jesus modeled this in his life. Look at John 6:38. For Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." God's will was Jesus' main concern in his life. And God's will was Jesus' main concern in his prayers. Look at his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane behind me on the screen. "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.'" Being a follower of Jesus Christ means you have devoted yourself to God's will, not your own. Number 6 in your notes. God's will should be the focus of our lives, and God's will should be the focus of our prayers. So as we close today, I ask you this very simple question. Number 7. Are your prayers God-centered? Are your prayers God-centered? Or are they man-centered? God's glory, God's kingdom, and God's will should be what we pray about. And let's all stand together and use this final song as a prayer that God's will would reign in our lives.